You can have all the money in your hand, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worth the treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have, you can have everything, but what is it? What is it?
I never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. you will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know I'm always happy and pleased to be here with you and to talk to you about the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. It is important that we be on top of the things that are happening so that we can help direct our world. And today is no different. I have a couple of different things I want to talk to everybody about and get everybody's opinion related to. I want to start with Roy Morris and just talk about a comment that he made several weeks ago or a few months ago that has resurfaced. Mr. Moore, when asked by African-Americans, when was America great again? He made the statement that America was great at the end of slavery, where families were together and strong, and the country had a direction. I find that incredible that someone who did not live during slavery would go back to a time when that could not have been the ideal place for at least a portion of America's society. And so it is interesting that this man would have allowed that kind of wording or description to come out of his mouth. And so, you know, we truly have to ask ourselves, if this is the kind of leadership that the Republican Party has and is going to bring forth, how can we ever feel comfortable that they would have our best interests at heart? So I just want to ask you guys, they keep trying to suggest to us that the Democratic Party was the racist party, but clearly some of the statements that they're making and suggesting shows otherwise. So why is it that we have this issue that keeps telling us exactly who the Republican Party is? Dee, what is your thought? I noticed that when I sent that statement to you, it caught you kind of off guard, and then you hadn't heard that he had made that kind of remark.
No, good evening, everybody, and excuse the background noise. I'm in the middle of a storm, but I had not heard that, and it is unbelievable that a person of the Brill Cream era, a pasty white person with the Brill Cream hair cream era, still lives. I find that more disturbing, troubling, and it just very lightly, very, very unfortunate. But I do want to say this, like you mentioned, how can he say and believe that in his heart when he wasn't there at that time? History tells us that right at the end of slavery, when the slaves were finally freed, the black family were displaced. A lot of them not really sure what to do or where to go. The 5 acres or the 10 acres and a mule was never given to them. So they had no starting foundation to look forward to going forward. So for him to say that shows the itty-bitty mind that most of the Republicans or the Conservative Party, I really can't tell the difference. The itty-bitty mind said that they have. They never had the mindset to embrace change. And so that's why I say that the Conservative Party or the Republican Party is actually the Confederate Party. Thank you.
And they are still the ones who are going out and yelling about and screaming about these statues coming down, these Confederate statues coming down, because they want to live in the past. So it's hard to understand how a man who dwells in the past wants to make us believe that somehow or another he's open-minded enough to care about people other than himself and where what direction we want to go in. So that's why it's so easy to believe that making America great again is code word using by the alt-right and the racist individuals who believe that white people are the supreme being. And it's hard to understand that when they support this man, that they can make us feel otherwise. And so that's truly disheartening. We have 4216. 4216, give us your name and where you're calling from. I'm calling out the last 4 digits of the number 4216. Give us your name and where you're calling from. It's just incredible that these people would suggest that they are real, you know. And the other thing that's killing me is how we are losing all of these senators who are resigning or retiring as a result of some of the comments they've made or some of the things they've done, but they are yet not holding President Trump to the same standard. How in the world can we ask senators and representatives to step down when they have shown or behaved in a way that sexually harassed females, and we have a president who refuses suggested that the 12 women that say he sexually harassed them are lying?
Well, James, it's kind of hard to imagine where we are in time. And actually, this is a period that we are forced to have to go through. It's a period of unveiling. It's a period of exposure. And something that the Conservative Party and the Republican Party seem to not to want to realize. And that is that all of this going on in this time frame will be recorded in history. And you're talking about another black eye on our existence here in the United States of America in 2017. you know, to hear when you send the link of the British Parliament and government expounding their dislike and their distaste for the United States White House and President. That to me sounds like something going on during World War II. And I got to tell you, I find it real incredible that in 2017, where we should be way ahead, leaps and bounds, embracing technology and all that it has to offer, we're still in the rocking chair in the deep south, in a separated mindset, and there's no, that doesn't seem like there's any light at the end of the tunnel, because the people that's in a position to make a difference seem like they'd rather close their eyes and let it all pass by like a bad dream, and then they'll wake up and it'll be all right. And I just don't understand.
Yeah, it is incredible to me that they can ignore what is a clear statement of what people are feeling and thinking related to the present world. When you're saying you're going to make America great again, and then you have a person who is running for office who suggests that America has not been great since the time when African Americans were in shackles, suggests to you that he wants to live in a world that he's never even lived in. And he is unable to see a world where everyone has equal justice as being free. So how in the world could he possibly believe that he is the right person for the job with all these kinds of things showing and displaying his inability to be fair or partial?
Well, again, you're right. They want a world that never really existed, or if it did exist, it was a world that they fabricated in the first place. And I think that's what makes them comfortable. They're not used to change, but they actually have to create a world where they can be comfortable in. And I've seen that for years and years, and I think that's the case when it comes down to their mindset.
And it is sad to believe that in this day and time, in 2017, we're still fighting the same battles, similar battles that we've been fighting since 1950s and on. It seems that, you know, I really thought truly that we had gone beyond or opened some new doors at the time that Barack Obama was selected. But it shows you that what we're seeing now was laying dormant amongst a lot of people, and it's come back live and well underneath Donald Trump's administration and his organization.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Dee.
No, it's okay. Let's see Ms. Cheryl then.
Can you hear me?
Ms. Cheryl, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Cheryl, what is your thoughts about this man saying America hasn't been great since the end of slavery, where the families had a new direction?
Good evening, and how's everyone doing this evening? I didn't get a chance to hear what the topic was about, but I've known, you know, when it's been said over and over about American being good again. When has America been good? We haven't.
And those of us,
Go ahead.
Those of us who have continued to struggle for equality reach a point where color becomes blind. We've never seen that. And so the greatness we speak of is the greatness that we want for our future, not necessarily for our present. So where they want to go back in time and rediscover a time when they were dominant, we're still looking for a time when we're even. We don't necessarily want to be dominant, but we want the playing field to be even.
Absolutely. And I don't know what is it that, you know, when they say about American being good again, what are they talking about? You know, we're looking for things to be better. We're not looking for to go backwards in time. I mean, that wasn't good for us. It wasn't good for, you know, many of the foreigners. It wasn't good for a lot of us except for the white supremacists.
Yeah, it is easy to see that every group of people, you were looking at the Japanese, when you talked about World War II, when the Japanese were herded into internment camps. And then when you look at the Indians who were pushed toward one area of the country, their lands taken, white Europeans or white Americans seem to think that the only true way for America to be great was when they were fully in charge and everyone else was secondary citizens.
You're right. And that's the reason why, you know, we say over and over again that we have to start instilling in our younger generation, because they are the future, and we can't allow them, you know, our future generation, not to have some part of control, meaning that we are able to make this a better place for everybody, not just one race in particular, everybody. And that's the reason why we have to do our part. We have to continue to vote. We have to continue to teach our younger generation. We have to continue to do the thing that it's going to take within our community to be able to make this a better place, and instead of us going backwards, because we definitely don't want to be back there again.
And Cheryl, you know, it's hard for me to understand with so many of these people calling themselves Christians, that how can your moral values or your Christianity beliefs make you believe that it is okay for you to put your thumb on the back or your foot or your knee on the back of Americans? And we struggle all the time to try to see something that is letting us know time is going to be, you know, things are going to get better. I was looking today where the police officer in South Carolina, you know, initially the South Carolina court could not convict him. They had a hung jury, and he didn't get convicted until the federal court took him to trial, and now he's going to get 20 years. So in a way, you grasp hold of that and say, finally, a police officer has been held accountable for shooting a man in the back. But here, this officer wants you to believe that somehow he was threatened by a man who was several yards away from him, running away from him, time he shot at him more than 9 times, hitting him 5 times in the back. And so that kind of mentality lets you know that we are not as far along as we need to be, when these people are still not understanding and accepting accountability for their actions.
Yeah, you know, I got a chance to read that article as well. And
you know, I thank God that justice was taking place. But, you know, just as they know how to manipulate the system, and I can't remember who it was that knew a lot about the law that was on the talk show, told us some things that, you know, when being trialed, because what are we going for, you know, first-degree murder instead of manslaughter, I keep that in mind, is that they are easily to get off because with first-degree murder, it has to be proven that they have the intent to kill. With manslaughter, you don't have that that in the same sense, you know, to prove. Not saying that you don't have to prove anything, but what they're doing to get off mainly is that their life was threatened. So we're not taking in consideration, you know, the other person. So we have to be able to attack it the way that the system is attacking the, you know, the victims and their families. Because when they don't have justice and the cops are steady getting off, it's sending a message to, you know, to the victims. And it's sending also a message to the officers saying that, you know, if they got away with it this time, how many other times can they get away with it? So we have to approach it in a different way.
Dee, let me ask you, do you think, you know, I was just saying to Cheryl that we grasp hold to everything that we can. We see something happen, and it happens in our favor. Just a couple of days ago, the officer who shot the man in the back was sentenced to 20 years in jail. But he's still saying that he feared for his life. And, you know, clearly you don't ask yourself, how can you fear for your life when somebody's running away at the time that you shoot them in the back?
Well, James, you know, the need and the concept of rational thinking in this day and age seems to be gone out the window. And so I think what they want us to do is play the irrational thinking card. And so let's do that for a minute. You know, I think Donald Trump and his era in time have created a sense that there's no need to apologize for nothing. And you go down with the ship thinking you was right. And I think that that's the card or that's the crowd that he's trying to appease or trying to appeal to. No longer by them do they think that they have to admit to anything. No, earlier this year on your show, we went through the changes of thinking. Why is it that we are always the one to have to apologize? Why is it that they always hold us to a different standard? And I think in this case, even the man got 20 years, he want to stroke the base. Now, I think that base goes far and wide. That base goes beyond Donald Trump. The base is a ideology that is us against them, that this is the world making America white again. And I'm one, and his mindset is, I'm one of y'all. And so give me a chance to write a book, cut me some kind of slack, and I think that's where we are with that, man. It's just crazy as asinine, and it's irrational, and there's no rationale to be made of it.
You know, it makes you feel like history is truly repeating itself, because we're going back through a time where just like in Mississippi and in Alabama and South Carolina and Tennessee.
Michelle.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. We can't hear him, James.
Okay. Let's hang up and call back.
Okay. No. All we're right. All right. I'm back.
No, he's back. He's back. Okay.
It just seems that all those other places that, you know, that we're right back where you cannot convict a person for killing a black person. And so when you look at when the young man was in the car and the man fired 7 or 8 times into an occupied vehicle with a child in the back seat, and they allowed him, they called it not guilty. Well, D, I have to tell all of you who are out there listening to me, if I was on that jury, it would have been a hung jury, because there is no way in the world I could have seen that video and not charged that white man with manslaughter at the minimum. So there are a lot of times when we're begging for just finally got 20 years for this person in South Carolina. But the issue is when you got Roy Morris saying that America was great when slavery, at the end of slavery, when families were together, suggests to you that this man is going so far back to a time where he wants to go back to a place where he was superior, where white men said go and you bet not challenge it. And so if that's how far back he's going, how can we think that he's going to give us a fair shake in 2017? Joyce, what are your thoughts about that? Here we got a man who wants to run, who wants to win a house in the Senate, win a seat in the Senate, and his belief is that America was great during slavery.
Exactly. Good afternoon, everybody. Well, with him, it never did repeat itself. It's still and has always been in existence there in Alabama. Alabama is letting you know that things have not changed. We have not come as far as we thought we've come. And just yesterday, Barack Obama is speaking out now and saying that we need to start thinking here. We are too complacent, so now we need to really pay attention. We need to very much pay attention. My suggestion, and I've called all my relatives in Alabama and sent them text and let them know, do not hesitate on going to the poll and voting this guy. You know what you're looking at. This is the time for black churches down south to really, really get out like they used to when I was in Mississippi, and my dad and my mom used to go around and pick up people and take them to the poll, make sure that they vote. They got to go back to that to make sure that their voices are heard and they make an impact. This guy is off the chain. But to me, things have never, ever changed down there, you know, and he's sending a message to let you know. Secondly, it has not even changed throughout the United States. Just look what they did to Utah. That was Indian sacred grounds that President Trump released. He undid something that President Obama did to make sure that that piece of land there stay intact. This guy is going behind Obama, eradicating everything that he did, and he's trying to make it as if he has never been president of the United States. He don't care what it is. He's going back, and whatever good that Obama has done, he's going to try to go ahead and erase it. He is sick, and this guy Roy is sick. And for him today, he's on his way down to Florida. That's your neck of the woods, down in Florida, right across the edge. Yeah, the edge of Alabama. And today he just came out blatantly, I am for Roy. And I guarantee you that he's going to be over there with President Trump. Now, the signet party is what is scary that's going to happen tomorrow. And, you know, Mississippi might repeat itself, but it might be in a different way tomorrow, where he goes and he's supposed to be inaugurating the Black Museum down there. You know, it might be, you know, things might not be as pretty. You never know. I'm anxious to see just what's going to happen. That's my hometown. So this world is in we're in a dangerous era right now. Just like Dee said, everybody's getting exposed. People are coming out. You're just seeing people their true way of how they feel and what they think. Right now, you're looking at your neighbors differently because your neighbors have spoken and their action has showed you where they stand. But prior to that, but this could be good in a way. Because now you know exactly how you need to move about and carry yourself throughout the situation and in order for things to get better, you see. So that's all I have to say.
Well, there are a lot of people, like you said, who are saying that they're going to be staying away from that opening because they don't want to be on the platform with Donald Trump. And the surprising thing is, D, there are a lot of here we have, I saw earlier today as well a young lady who is a part of the Winter Olympics who says that if she wins a gold medal, she doesn't even want to go to the White House. And so, you know, there are a lot of people who do and who are publicly coming out who are letting you know that they do not support this man because he is so contradictory. He has purposely planted seeds in Israel where he's talking about moving the foreign affairs to the embassy to to an area that is Jerusalem that is shared by both the Palestinians and Israel, and so that people have stayed away from that because they knew the division that it would create, but he doesn't care. And so the fact is that he's making the world more dangerous in almost every area you can think of. I sent you all a video where the parliament in England was talking about keeping him away from England on a visit next year because they did not want that division brought to their country. So wherever he goes and whatever he talks about a division that creates superiority of white Europeans versus others.
James, can I have that?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I really want to piggyback on where Ms. George just went. I think she was laying down the foundation of the mindset of that culture overall. And, you know, one of the titles that they give us, the Democrats and the liberals and the independents, one of the titles they give us is the progressives. And I think that's one of their problems. They've never been able to progress. She speaks about how the economic status and the opportunities in all of Alabama are still stifled. My ex-wife was from Mississippi, and Mississippi has long been known as one of the poorest countries, one of the poorest states in throughout the whole country. Presently, I am in a small town in Georgia, Albany, Georgia. Look, Albany, Georgia sits on the Flint River, and back in the days of Reconstruction, I suppose, the Flint River was a thriving town, was a thriving avenue for the transport of cotton and slaves. And in that, my point is that this place has not grown since then. The mentality is still stuck on that time. People who were born here, if they don't leave here, they are doomed for poverty and crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the Trump era and this Make America Great / White Again, and the exclusion of everybody else. It got to also put you in the mind of when the Nazis tried to make an all-white race. And I think that, you know, since they are here in America, they want to be left alone and make America theirs. Even though they stole it when it came, they cannot progress in any kind of way. They can't get along with nobody. And I'm talking about the Hicks now that make up this base. They can't get along with nobody. They don't know how to grow. And so all they can do is try to steal and manipulate to where what we say is law. And I also want to put this in right here. They also try to use the cross and Christianity as their battle flag, where they take passages out of the Bible and they try to make it a reality. And I think it's very, very dangerous. So, you know, I just had to expound on that. That's my observation.
Well, one of the things that makes life hard right now and unbelievable, Cheryl, is that we thought that new individuals or new blood would bring about a change. And it seems that no matter how many years we are removed, that new blood has gotten some of that old belief in their minds, and we still find ourselves at the same place, that we somehow or another cannot get beyond us against them. And even if, you know, against them would be fine if it was used like economics. You understand? The poor and the middle class against the rich. But they are so blinded by their hatred. Some of them are so blinded by their hatred for people of color that they rather see themselves in being mistreated by the rich than see equality for all.
You know, and that's where I constantly say that we have to do better. We have to do better in every area, because we can't let, you know, the middle class drop down to the poor status. So we have to do our part, because we can't, we have to be in office. We have to be a part of what's going on, a part of the movement of what's going on, so that we won't, you know, because, you know, right now we can really feel it, that the middle class is, you know, it's like, send me a life jacket, because we're beginning to sink. And those that are in poverty, you know, just like we mentioned before, the programs, the different programs that were set in place, you know, they're being taken away, and we can't do that. We got to start, you know, we got to continue to come together so that we can, you know, rise above everything that's going on. And that's where I say, you know, we got to continue to do better in every area.
And we can't even grasp hold of any hope when something decent happens. We can't even grasp hold to the hope that it's gonna be something that continues. You know, it's like I'm afraid to think that America's gonna do better because this police officer has been sentenced to 20 years, but the minute you think you've turned the corner, they shove you right back down the street. So, Joyce, every time you seem like we will get equality and America will treat everybody the same, they go right back to behaving the way they used to.
Well, that's the mistake that you make of thinking that everybody is treated the same. That would never happen. It's not going to happen in your lifetime, and history is telling you that it's not going to even happen in your kid's lifetime or their kid's lifetime. It's not going to work that way, because evil, there's so much evil there, and we're going backwards instead of forward. I think what has happened, too, is that we got complacent, like Obama said, that we need to start realizing that we have someone whose mentality is more of a narcissist at the helm. So we got to start teaching again. We got to start teaching. And we got to start, I think that's where we stopped. We stopped teaching by stop communicating. We got to go back to the basics and start doing that. And sometimes old ways are the best ways, because when you look at it, look how our ancestors survived. There's no way that my parents had as much as I've had, you know, and to be honest with you, when I look back there, I really don't see how my dad did it, you know, raising 9 kids, you know, this is, you know, plus, you know, other adults, grandmothers in the household as well. He did it, and we just have to kind of reach back a little bit and kind of redefine ourselves. One thing I think we should also do, too, is that we got to reinstate who we are. Black is beautiful. We got to go back to that. Kaepernick looked so good up there accepting that Muhammad Ali Award with that afro. We got to do it. We got to go back to believing that what we are, what we can, and what we will be able to do. And like Cheryl said that, we got to do that. And another way is that since I've been on this show and communicating, one way that I've tried to make an impact is start using black products, black businesses. I would Google all day to find something that I can think that I can help another black person with their businesses and help them prevail in any kind of way. So we got to start looking at that and start depending on each other again, because that's how we made it, you know, depending on our brothers and our sisters helping. You know, we are a loving generation, so we have to go back to some of those things, because if we're waiting on America, the white America, to what it is today, and the people that we have in power to look out for us, it's not going to happen. I am disconcerting, too, because sometimes when we do get our brothers and sisters in these powerful positions, they tend to forget. So we got to start grooming our young people, putting them in key spots. We need more black judges. We need more black educators. We need more black nurses, doctors, everybody in all these fields that we can help each other and make good, sound decisions to help our race and society, minority at that. And when I say minority, just not only black, all minorities go forward.
Dee, you know, I listen to what Joyce is saying, and I do agree with her that we have to support our own businesses, that we can make ourselves economically stronger by supporting our money, keeping our money in the black community a lot longer. But should we give up all hope that America will really live out its constitution and do what the constitution says, or is that just a fantasy and we'll never be able to get there?
You know, to be honest with you, I think that's a frame of mind that its time has come and gone. I am in total agreement with Ms. Joyce. So much to say that, you know, the Donald Trump era is a blessing in some kind of way. If you change your mindset, you can see it. It is because it is supposed to jolt us back into our reality. It is supposed to jolt us back to where we were when we gave a damn, about each other. We had become complacent. We had become to where we assumed that our young people would get it and that they understood. And in that assumption, they fell prey to drugs, alcohol, and rap music. So it is imperative, yes, that we get back to teaching. It is imperative that we take the small steps and teach the young brother at 18, 17 on how to respect girls, on how to obtain a good work ethic and learn how to go up the ladder. And also, you all have spoken countless time about getting a good education. We got to get back to that. Because, you know, I mentioned in right before the show, it was a time when we was Negroes that we had this mindset. We had this mindset of how we had to pull together to get where we was trying to go, because it was kind of obvious that they weren't going to give it to us. So we got to get back to the brotherhood with total respect. You know, if you want to call it black power, that's fine. I kind of like the term a little bit more of being African American. We are Americans, but we have a change in strategy now. And so I think it's real time that we change our strategy. We the adults have all the materials and the experiences that we've survived, and it would be criminal for us to take this to our graves and not try to enlighten some of the younger people coming up, because they don't know, and we cannot assume no more that they will get it, because they won't get it without our help. Thank you.
That's right.
Well, Cheryl, let me ask you this question, because this, you know, we come in a time when we were born in a time a little before there was true black economy. There was a true black economy where we owned stores, we owned all kind of different kind of businesses, and we were catering to the black community. You know, we're all aware now about the fact that there was a Black Wall Street in Oklahoma that got burned down, where people, black people, had all kind of money and were just doing very well. I wonder, why can't we bring that back? You know, why can't we create that again in a society where there's so many black millionaires? Why can't that be recreated now in this environment, so that we can help all our brothers get to a better place?
You know, one of the things that we have to remember is that we have to stay committed, and we're not that. We don't stay committed to anything. You know, we're all over the place. We don't stay focused. So whatever we are trying to strive towards, you know, we lose our way. And, you know, we got to remember, when we do make it, when somebody do, it's to reach back down and to help others, but not to get there and to keep going and forget about, you know, the struggle that they had coming up. And just like Joyce and Dee mentioned, you know, we have to start now. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have with the young adults is communication. Because social media has taken over so much, you know, and I look at a lot of the things, you know, because y'all know that I have a teenager. And just, you know, I asked him to communicate with his boss about something, and he did it through GroupMe app. And I'm waiting for the response, and I'm not getting the response right away. I say, do y'all not, you know, pick up the phone and call? But it's no, that they don't, you know, and are we, and I know that I think I was talking to my sister about, you know, supporting a black business, which is, was a little bit more than just another business. Let's just take, say, for instance, a foreign business where you got, you know, you when you enter into it, you know, not everybody is polite. They talk down on you, but because it's a little bit cheaper, you go there, you give them your business, you complain about it. And my thing is, my dollars is going to spend where I get the best customer service. So, you know, regardless if a black-owned business costs just a little bit more, I'd rather give it to a black business than to be subjected to going to a foreign business where they are monopolizing, you know, every businesses that they are out here, and we're being talked to just any old kind of way. And, you know,
yeah,
just like I
point.
Told y'all before, I'm starting, just like what Joyce was saying, I've been seeking out, you know, to be able to support, because you want us to continue to survive. I mean, it's getting harder and harder out here, you know, for us. And we want to think and hope that when one of us gets ahead, that we can reach back down and help the next person. but it don't seem like we are staying committed to that. So, you know, as I continue to say, we got to do better.
Yeah, it is so important for us to recognize that we're going to have to pool our resources in a way to help all of us rise up. And what I mean is when we support black businesses and they're able to hire black young people, that does a whole lot for all of us. That's keeping a young person out of trouble and keeping a entrepreneur making money. And you're right. If we do a little Googling and a little research, there's a lot of places that we can get those same products that we're searching for from someone who is of our same color. And that doesn't mean that we're against America, but it's just we're doing what is in our best interest and the best interest of our children. So you're so right. We need to do much better at trying to support black businesses and helping black entrepreneurs get to the point where they can hire more of these young people in high school in order to keep them out of trouble. So, Joyce, it seems that we're all on one accord, and we need to just put our money where our mouth is and do what it is we can. Just recently, I did some research and purchased some sheets off of Amazon where they were $14. They were on sale for $14. And so I bought about 9 new packages. And so because I always wanted to have some fresh ones, you know, if I decide, you know, instead of the ones you watch, sometimes you be in a mood where you want new ones. Well, the truth is that I could, you know, you could look and see if there's an African-American store or some entrepreneur who has the things that you're looking for and use your and send your money to them. And so that would be a much better position. So that's certainly something we need to adopt, is at least put forth the effort to look to see before we spend our money.
Exactly. Correct. I use Amazon, and I just recently, all this time I've been using Amazon, but I did not realize that my son has a diabetes foundation. If you go through instead of regular Amazon, you just put Amazon Smile. AmazonSmile.com, and then they'll let you choose what organization that you would like to give. The prices is the same as the regular Amazon, but just 5% of whatever it is that you purchase in, that 5% or 1% goes to that organization. My son is listed on that because he's with the Foreman Foundation for Diabetes. So I changed my website. Instead of just going through regular Amazon, I went through AmazonSmile.com. Now, I did not realize that. It took Audrey to let me know that, my sister Audrey. Once she found that out, then you start spreading the word to other family members. But out of all this time that we've been spending so much on regular Amazon, I could have been supporting my son. So we got to start communicating with each other as to what is out there to help each other out as black programs and share that information. Also like to say that there's 1% of the rich people here in America, they will not survive this United States. The United States, the backbone of this country is ran off of the middle class and the lower class. And if they trying to bust the middle class, because they already trying to destroy the lower class. But this is the poor class. So the middle class, if they're going to hurt so bad, there's no way that 1% of the country, of the rich folks, is going to run this country and let America be survived, and America would never be great again. The reason why America was great during the time that what they think, if you realize it, it was on the backbone of us, hard-working middle-class people. They don't realize that. But nowadays, the mentality of the middle-class people, such as you and myself, is that you got to give me something in order to get something, you know. And they're not willing to do that. They want to bring it back where they don't want to give up anything. and it doesn't work that way. So we got to start doing what we used to do. You know, when we think about our forefathers, they were smart maneuvers, how they maneuver and to be survivors. Because the old man Charlie always had the whip. He didn't have it where they could see it every day, but they knew the mentality of how they think. That's what you're looking at, Mr. Roy, right now. So that's what is. This is what we're seeing. You're seeing it through your congressman, and I am just so disapprove of my congressman because they all went stupid. There's no way that they should be supporting all these bills. What we don't realize is that we said we got to educate our kids. They just cut. They cut you on education. All these loans. These kids are not going to be able to go to school. You know, the rich class, rich people like Trump. Them, they don't care, but. These are the people what makes America great that runs this country. You got to get young minds, educated minds. But when you getting the best of the best where they can't afford to go to school, we are in trouble. They heard in Medicaid. Medicaid is going to be cut. Medicare is going to be cut. You know, these are the things, health programs, everything that was put in place to at least try to keep us going in the right direction. That has been turned totally to the left. Where we stand now is that we got to regroup. We got to do it with urgency. We got to start thinking and communicating and helping each other. We got to start putting names of businesses. We got to start, just like we text and put out there every day on YouTube and Facebook and all that, let's Facebook some people say, hey, do you know a black business, a blank, blank, blank in my town? Sometimes you'd be surprised at the feedback of what we get back. I don't Facebook, I don't YouTube, I don't do any of that, but I do communicate and receive your emails and texts. So then we can start communicating whatever little way we can do it. Let's do it. Thank you.
And you're so right. It's amazing you say that because, you know, I'm always looking for ways to enhance my income. And I completely forgot about that. I have a store myself called JDSuperDeals.com that goes straight to Amazon as well. And so, you know, I've been trying to learn how to advertise it and get it out there, but we all just have to do better with letting people know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, and so that we can be unify ourselves. And so it is it's so easy to just get in the habit of talking about what it is you're doing and how people can support you, so that you can get involved in these different things that are going on. And we have to do it and unify ourselves. There's so much money in the black community and people that we're earning. These people try to make us believe that we're lazy, but we are earning a lot of money, and we just have to learn how to pool our resources so that we can do and live better lives economically. And that's what other groups do. But we just have to learn how to do it better. And what are your thoughts about that, Dee?
Well, my first thought, James, is please send us your link one more time. Send us your link,
okay.
and so we can at least make that first step. My second thought is, Ms. Joyce, don't you ever tire. Don't tire at what you're saying and what you're doing. In fact, I wish you could find a way, if you had the time, to loudly exemplify the thought and the thought process that you have. Because that is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Look, let me put it to you like this. All right. Suppose that a nuclear conflict is inevitable. Suppose that now. Let's go there. If a nuclear conflict was inevitable, then what would you do if you didn't die? Would you try to pull yourself up, pull yourself back together, and start all over? I think that's the mindset that we should be having. I think the mindset that we should be having is to partner up with whomever. With whomever is in the receptive mind frame, that being the Mexican, that being the Puerto Rican, the Chinese, and anybody else that's here in America that's in that mind frame. But I also want to go back to something that we said about being a black business owner. And Ms. Sherry said that she spends her dollars with whomever respect her as a customer, per se. I think that's vitally important. You know, we can't assume just because we black that you're going to spend with me. I think that we have to earn your dollars, and we have to earn, and we have to go beyond the call of duty when it comes to service.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we have to teach our younger people. Well, one thing that I've noticed that the younger crowd don't know the definition of is common courtesy. They
right.
have no idea what that means. And so we got to get back to holding their feet to the fire. Now, this going to hurt them like hell to try to sit down and listen to what you're saying, because my son told me long ago that if when the, some pointers I gave him about how to be attractive to girls, he thought that it was lame.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to carve that out of them. And how do you do that? It's going to be a lengthy and long process, but that's okay. Because the question is, what else do we have to do? What else do we have to do? Who else? Like Ms. Regina had said one time, if we're going to do it, who? If we don't do it, who's going to do it?
Right.
And I think that's where we got to go. It's time. It's time. And look, Donald Trump done put the clock and fast forward. So when the smoke clears, do we have a foundation to turn to? And I think we do. And I think it's our love for each other. And I think that's a great starting place. Thank you.
Well, one of the things that after listening to you guys, we got to get to is if America is not going to allow us equality and sit at the table with equal space, equal time, and equal shares of the apple pie, then we need to be developing or cooking or creating our own apple pie so that we you know, we can keep them out. You know what I'm saying? If they don't want to share their economic system with us and use our tax dollars to help better us, then we need to be spending our money with ourselves in a way that we create our own economical apple pie. And so if you're saying to me, Joyce, and you confirming, Dee, that they're not going to give us the equality that we deserve, then we need to be taking our money and merging it in a different fashion so that we can get what it is that we want. And though we're a part of America, we act just like the other races of people do, is keep our money circulating in our own communities first. So if that's what it's going to take, then, Cheryl, we need to be about the business of creating our own store chain and creating our own means of keeping our money in our own community. Are you there, Cheryl?
Oh, I'm here. I'm sorry. What did you say? I'm so sorry. You know, I apologize.
No, I'm just saying, if we go by what we've been told by Joyce and Dee, that we cannot get the equality we deserve that the Constitution says that we have, then we have to create our own economical apple pie and reserve it for ourselves and not allow them to eat from our economics. Why should we continue to give them our money and purchasing their products if they're not going to allow us to have equal access to moving forward?
Oh, you know that I totally agree with that, because, you know, as I said many a time, I have always been about being an entrepreneur. And just as I said, you know, before, I mean, I've had a lot of people, you know, even when, like when I started off, and I started off in high school, or even in junior high school sewing, And those were my biggest supporters, you know. So, and then as time went on, you know, the same people always looked me up. Whatever kind of business that I changed, you know, to, and I have done a lot of different businesses. My main one had been sewing. But you're right, and I'm listening to Joyce and Dee and, you know, everybody saying the same thing. We got to continue talking about what our businesses are. We got to continue asking, you know, or texting each other, you know, I'm looking for such and such. Is there somebody that I can get? Because depending on what the business is, it may not be that we need to do something locally. Just take for instance, James. James is, I'm James' health coach, and we are miles and miles away from each other. So when you're talking about different businesses, you know, it depends on what we're looking for. We can reach out to people. They don't have to be within our community or our next door neighbor. So we got to do that. We got to start, you know, reaching out to each other, just like Joyce said, you know, and finding out, hey, do you know somebody? And guess what? And if she don't know, you know, maybe she can investigate it. The same thing with Dee and myself as well, and Audrey and everybody else that's on here. You know, let it start with us. Let us be the examples of showing the communication and the commitment towards, you know, helping our businesses thrive. So, you know, I'm big on that.
All right, let's take a short break, and we'll come right back and continue our conversation.
Up.
Dee, let me ask you, how do we win favor in this midterm election? What is it that we can do in we do to get ourselves back in a better position? How can we assist the Democrats to win the House and the Senate so that we can make the strides that we need to make life better for ourselves going down the road? Are you there, Dean?
I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
So what do you think that African Americans need to be doing in order to better themselves as we see that a white America seems to be turning their backs on us?
I think that we as a people need to basically change our mind state, because if we get 40 acres and a mule tomorrow, we still won't be able to get out of this situation that we have already sinking our feet into. So I think that we should change our mind state, because once you change your mind state, you can change your environment. Just basically keeping the same mind state recreates the old environment, you know?
Well, let me ask you, because you seem to be a young person, what do we need to be doing to help that part of our society that seems to be not able to stay out of the system, to stay out of the criminal system, the justice system? Because we seem to be losing too many of our young people to crime.
I'll tell you what it is. It's not the American Aid Society. It's not the prison industrial complex. It's not the Jim Crow educational system. What it is a lack of our own ignorance, you know. And so we have to realize and we have to stop basically falling on the lack of our own ignorance, you know, because what happens is, just picture it like this. We're at a building, right, and we have the power to possess it and take it. But instead of us possessing it and taking it, we might get thrown over and not even possess the building or be able to take the building because of our perception and perspective on things, and also not only our perspective but our opinion on things. You know, a lot of us got a strong opinion on how we view right or wrong. So to get out of the criminal justice system is easy. Stop making yourself a criminal, justifying your system. You know what I'm saying? That's easy, because if criminals justifying their system, if you start making yourself a criminal, then you'll be able to get out of their justice system, their so-called justice system anyway, or justified system.
Well, we're losing. One of the things for sure is we're losing too many potential individuals to crime. We need to find ways to upgrade the dreams and ideas and perspectives of young people so that they know that there's a different way to get out of economic unhappiness or poorness, that we can strive to do better. Joyce, and we're going to have to create an environment for young people to see a different way of living.
Exactly. I think one thing we need to do, too, is that our young people got to stop having the urgency of just wanting things so much instantaneously without really earning it, thinking about it, and working for it, you know. Secondly, stop ego tripping so much. Stop being so materialistic, because things that are in style today, 20 years from now, you're going to wish you would have had what you had then, you know. So my thing is, what we need to do is be more conservative with our spending, with our earnings. My thing is, it took you a while to earn it. Don't be in too big a hurry to get rid of it. You want that money to jingle in your pocket a little bit. I think in the olden days, they want the money to, when you put your money and shake your hand in your pocket, you want to hear. But our young people, they want to make it. They want to make it fast. They want to spend it fast. Don't be that way. My thing, too, is when you make it, pay yourself first. If you put up with a lot of bull all week, a lot of stuff from a lot of people to earn that money, don't be in a hurry to just get rid of it. You pay yourself for putting up with it. You see, you pay yourself first, and I guarantee you, 20 years from now, you'll be a multimillionaire.
You're so right. Those things that you're saying work so much, and we just got to get in the habit of doing it. Every year we let things go by that we need to change and get ourselves further to where we need to be. And Cheryl, what are your thoughts related to how do we pass this positive way of thinking down to our young people in order to keep them from falling prey to the criminal justice system?
I want to say, just like Joyce mentioned, you know, we got to go back to the old way and the way that it worked for us, and it'll work for them. Not saying they can't implement and continue to use the things that they use, but writing things down, you know, writing the vision, making it plain as far as putting an action plan together, because we can talk about, you know, the things that we're going to do, but if we don't put it to action, what's the sense of talking about it? So, and then not only that, we have to be the examples. We have to show them. And when I say literally show them, I mean, even if we have to walk them through it, we have to be the examples, because they don't hear what we're saying. They see what we're doing.
All right, we're going to take a short break and come back and let everyone have a final word. As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves, so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in.
No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge.
A lot of information from the different ideas and opinions of each other. So now it's time for us to put these things into action and be doers of these things so that we can accomplish a goal and to help those individuals that's going to be our future. Good show.
All right. Guys, as always, I thank you all so much for supporting the show and being here, and look forward to talking with you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Please call in at 657-383-0309.
so your voice can be heard loud and clear.
Help to reach.